The regular season is now done and dusted. The league will split, the points will be halved, and there was a dramatic finale, as always, to match day 22 in the Austrian Bundesliga. You're listening to the Other Bundesliga podcast. It's myself, Tom Midler, and Simon Clark in the virtual studio today. And we've got a fair amount to unpack after some dramatic weeks on and off the field in the Austrian Bundesliga. Before we get started with that, if you want to chip in for the work that we're doing in Austrian football, you can buy us a beer over at buymeacoffee.com/other Bundesliga. A big shout out to everybody who's done that so far. Everyone who's generously chipped in and bought us a beer. We do get round the grounds and we do get to the pubs to enjoy those beers. So yes, we're very grateful. That's buymeacoffee.com/other Bundesliga. Simon, to the action in the Austrian Bundesliga. We were talking about it just off the air just now. It's almost worth starting with Austria Lustenau again, isn't it? But instead of starting with the team at the bottom, I will start with the team at the top. Red Bull Salzburg, 3 wins on the bounce, 2 of those crucial narrow 1-0s. The reason I'm starting with them is more because in all of the top 6 drama of this weekend, they had a game against LASK. They were utterly uninvolved in that. So uninvolved, in fact, that their game was on the Saturday with everything else on the Sunday. But Salzburg got another win. They got the job done.
Yeah, exactly. And it was another early goal. This one wasn't as contentious as the first time that happened. It was for Fernando after 26 seconds of the game. It took Tomas Segura's side by surprise, I think, in front of, yeah, as always, a great atmosphere when these two teams play each other. But Salzburg, a 1-0 win, and they are now top going into the championship group by 2 points. But we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, a bit frustrating for Lask. Caught cold after 26 seconds. Good ball across. Fernando just had to tuck it away. But Lask were like really not ready. It was a lot of space that they left. They pushed forward from kickoff, actually, Lask. And then when the ball came the other way, there was so much space for Salzburg to exploit. And they're a good enough team just to do it. So, as you said, they scored against Blau-Weiss Linz after 5 seconds. That was very contentious. Now, again, a couple of weeks later, they score against Lask after 26 seconds. And ultimately, this time, it was the only goal of the game.
Yeah, it was the only goal of the game, although there were some good opportunities, particularly for Lask in the first half. There was a Marin Ljubicic chance, for example, about 20 minutes in, where he fired wide from a promising position. Moses Usor and Sasha Horvat both had chances as well against the former Lask keeper, Alex Schlager. For Lask, it's been a tough 2024 so far. They actually haven't won a competitive game in 2024 so far, whereas for Salzburg, it's more the opposite. Salzburg, again, it comes to this point of the season and they just start cranking up those wins, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. And you do start to feel that the momentum is on their side. It's always easy to say that, you know, they're going to be the favourites in the title race year in, year out, but you do feel like the momentum is with them. Lask have dropped well away, 3 draws and 3 defeats for Lask in 2024. No goals in their last 4 games as well. And I think I heard a stat during that game that they haven't scored a goal in any game where Robert Julia has not been on the field. So when he takes a knock in a game, Lask are pretty much worried. They're very much a one-man team at the moment. And if I look back at Lask, I start to get a bit worried. We're seeing more and more criticism of Tomas Sagida online. Lask fans are getting frustrated. But since they lost the derby to Blau-Weiss Linz in early November, they've actually only beaten Lustenau and VSG Tirol, the bottom two. And that's really strange. I remember I was at the game. They beat Sturm in the league. That was a big result. They beat Union Saint-Gilloise in Europe quite comfortably as well. And so at the back end of 2023, you're thinking, hey, Lask could be onto something here. They could have really turned a corner. But since then, they're now, I think, 10th of 12 in the form table for 2024.
It's really quite a turnaround, really, for Lask. But you know, this is a team that were very much in the title race. They were just a little bit behind the top two. The thing is that they almost finished in the bottom six. They tried their hardest to. We'll discuss it later in the pod, but they only finished 2 points above seventh place in the end, which is quite a shocking turnaround in their results.
Yeah, they were never really in the sixth place battle, to be honest. But you do feel if it had gone on another couple of weeks, they could definitely have been dragged into it. Very strange form from LASK. For Salzburg, they've got 11 players now with at least two goals, five players with at least four. For LASK, it's Robert Jules. It's the one-man Robert Jules show. Nine goals he's got. That's more than twice as many as Ljubicic on four. So, yeah, I said they were a one-man team. But a bit of trouble for LASK. Things looking good for Salzburg. Their nearest challengers, of course, are SK Sturm. Sturm have also been sharing the goals around, but they could do with a real main striker for the course of the season. Sakaria is out for them for the rest of the season after a knock that he picked up on match day 21. Oh, I say a knock. I mean, it was a break, unfortunately, for Sakaria. Yeah, a big loss for them. A good squad-deepening player. You know, four goals, three assists. But they had the Styrian derby to play on match day 22 against Hartberg, a fixture which often leads to a little bit of trouble for Sturm. It's not an easy win most of the time, is it?
No, exactly. I mean, I remember particularly when Hartberg first got promoted, they came and stuck at Hartberg quite a lot. But recently, it's been more in Sturm's favour. At the weekend, it was a 1-1 draw. Hartberg got the points that they needed to qualify for the top six. And for Sturm, it wasn't a disaster because rather than be the same level as points as Salzburg, they're now 2 points behind heading into the rest of the season. So the title race is still very much there. It was almost an end of season feel with also the massive local derby ramifications as well. So it was quite an interesting atmosphere, actually, the Pro Fertile Arena.
Yeah, it's always an interesting fixture, the Styrian derby. A lot riding on it this time, especially for Hartberg, who were right down in the scrap for P6. In fact, for some of the day, they were down in seventh place, but Donis Avdiay nicked in a cheeky free kick over the wall and at the near post. I think the goalkeeper, Jarosz, perhaps could have done better, just touched it onto the post and in. But it was a very clever free kick from Avdiay, who's just a great player at Hartberg. He really seems to work well, doesn't he, Donis Avdiay, with TSV Hartberg. But for Sturm, they'd gone ahead after a mix-up in defence. A long ball over the top was then headed back towards the Hartberg goalkeeper, but in fact passed the Hartberg goalkeeper, and it gave William Berving a tap-in. So Sturm drop points. They stay 2 points behind Salzburg. It just feels a bit at the moment like they're destined to stay just behind Salzburg. Do you know what I mean? I said earlier that I feel like the momentum is on Salzburg's side. And you feel that whatever Sturm do, they just can't quite close the gap, can they?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it seems that way. But of course, there are two more matches between the two for the rest of the season. And I mean, you never know. We always hope for a title race here at the podcast. You know, I think, you know, we've said it on record many times that if anyone else was to win the league apart from Salzburg, it would be a very happy day for this podcast because it would give Austrian football a lot of coverage around the world. But and Sturm Graz have been the team now for multiple seasons. They've come close. Last season, they were so close to pipping Salzburg, actually. But we still got a lot of time left in the season. But it does seem with Sturm Graz, you know, they are dropping a bit more points than they were before. And Salzburg, you look at the form table and that they've won three on the bounce. Where it's looking like it has done for many, many seasons, Tom. However, I'm forever an optimist. And I hope that Sturm Graz can force this hopefully into the final day of the season. Who knows? I would love a final day showdown, but we'll see.
It would be very, very good, wouldn't it, if it went right to the wire. They got pretty close last season, but I'll say this now. We said that the draw against Hartberg is perhaps not that costly for Sturm, but what I think it leaves them in is a bit of a tricky position for the start of the championship round, because they've got Lille next away in Europe. That tie is pretty much dead and buried at 3-0, unfortunately. But that could be a blessing in disguise, because I think being out of Europe would be useful for Sturm across the last 10 games. And I also think they've got their first game away against Klagenfurt. That comes off the back of the away trip to Lille just a few days after. And they've traditionally struggled, just as they did this weekend, after playing in Europe midweek. They often get a draw after they've played in the Europa League or the Conference League. So now they've got Lille coming up. Then they've got a must win away against Klagenfurt. For me, that's a must win, because you'll assume Salzburg start off with 3 points. If Sturm don't, then suddenly they fall away from Salzburg and it's already looking very, very difficult to keep up at their pace. And then after the game against Klagenfurt, they've got a home game against Salzburg as well. So it's a really, really big pressure start for Sturm to this championship round.
How you start the championship round will be very, very important. I was checking the fixture list there, and Salzburg have got Hartberg at home. So, you know, this is not disrespect to Hartberg, but probably the easiest tie that they will have in the championship group. So, yeah, it's going to be very, very important that those opening fixtures. Who knows? Salzburg have dropped points this season in positions where we thought they wouldn't. So you never know, Tom. This might be the year. This might be the year. Who knows?
No, it's very true. I just feel that after Salzburg won 7-0, they've managed to find two important 1-0 victories. They seem to be able to get through at the moment in these really tight games. So that could be a crucial thing in their favour, whereas that's just looking a little bit more difficult for Sturm. In any case, good position for them going into the last 10 games. For Hartberg, man, they just scraped into the top six in the end, courtesy of that Avdi free kick. But they made it closer than it needed to be, didn't they? They blew it last week against VSG Tirol. They lost a game that could have sealed their passage easily into the top six. They've only got one win in 2024, but here they are still in the top six and with a huge chance of European football again. It must be relief for Schopp and Hartberg.
Yeah, very much relief. I mean, you look at the form table of the last like five matches, and yeah, Lask, Klagenfurt and Hartberg, all three haven't really been in their best form heading into these last two match days, really. So it is interesting that, but Hartberg, all that matters is the fact that they got one more point than Austria Vienna, and that's all that matters at this stage of the season.
That is indeed all that matters. Another team who had a chance to easily seal their top six place a week ago was Rapid Vienna, or SK Rapid, to give them their new full title, of course. They had a game against Lustenau. All they needed was to beat bottom club Lustenau at home, and they were in the top six. However, they only got a draw. So since that resounding derby win that we spoke about on the last podcast, they've ended up with just 2 points. They were a bit shaken up, of course, by the post-derby antics and the reaction to that. We don't need to go into that too much. Obviously, it was pretty controversial. The players singing and chanting, getting involved with homophobic chanting at the end of the game, basically. There's differing levels of what people believe in terms of how homophobic that was and how bad that was. But in any case, that's old news. And what the Bundesliga did was suspend a whole bunch of their players, including top scorer Guido Burgstaller. So they were shaken a little bit by that, drew with Lustenau, and then that left them with this game away in Klagenfurt on Sunday, and they had to get something from the game. Ultimately, both teams did just enough with the 1-1 draw that pretty much everybody was predicting this game would finish as.
Yeah, so the way the fixture list had panned out, when you saw that it was going to be Klagenfurt Rapid on the final day of the season, and both teams just needed the point, you know, I think Austrian football has a history of this in the past, Tom. But but I'm not saying that that this was premeditated or anything. It was actually quite an interesting game up until the Klagenfurt equaliser. But Klagenfurt really went all out. Nicholas Heidel was in superb form on Sunday afternoon. He made two or three unbelievable saves, and that of course allowed Rapi to take a 1-0 lead via Christoph Lang. The full shout out there has to go to Fali Maiulu for just a sensational assist. And they went 1-0 up heading into half time.
Yeah, interesting that you pick out Nicky Hadel, the young Rapid goalkeeper, because he was one of those who was actually supposed to be banned for this game. But Rapid, unsurprisingly, appealed the suspensions of their players. And Marco Gruhl's ban got reduced very slightly, but he was still missing for this game. Guido Burgstaller, as I said, was missing for this game and will be missing for a few more at the start of the championship round as well. But Nicky Hadel had his ban transferred to just a suspended ban. He was the one player who was banned who was then, after the appeal, able to play in this game against Klagenfurt. So interesting that he should play such a key role, because as you say, Klagenfurt did start the game really well, and it was a bit of a surprise that Rapid ended up 1-0 up. And Klagenfurt in the second half, they came out, they got their equaliser through Venitsnig, a really nice move, really nice passing move, just onside with the VAR check. And I think, as you said, both teams really did go for it. It was definitely not a premeditated game. But once it came into those final few minutes, with the scores at 1-1, both teams knowing that they were going through, it did become a bit of a snooze fest of defensive passing, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. But, you know, both teams had to get a draw. It was a proper game of football. You know, frankly, Klagenfurt should have been 2-0, 3-0 up if it wasn't for Hedl making those amazing saves. So, you know, it just so happened heading into the final minutes of the game that the result suited both of the teams. But of course, it meant for the sadness of the Rapid Vienna fans that Austria Vienna missed out on the top six, which I'm sure they're very, very sad about.
Yeah, a strange position when Austria Vienna are relying on a Rapid win actually at that point. Klagenfurt, again, they were out in seventh place at some point during the day until they got that equaliser. So it was really, the permutations were great. The table, the live table was updating very often with a new team in sixth. Ultimately, it was Rapid who ended in sixth, level on points with Austria Vienna. They beat them on head-to-head. They beat them on goal difference as well. So in that sense, it was very, very tight. But Rapid probably just about deserving of their P6. You can't argue with that too much. The table doesn't lie too much after 22 games. Each team has played every other team home and away once by this point. Klagenfurt, for their point, I think they're a fair addition to the top six as well. A third year in a row for them. Very impressive. But if you look at their 2024... they've drawn against Last, they've drawn against Rapid, they've beaten Lustenau and Blau-Weiss Linz, and they've only lost one game, and that was 1-0 to Salzburg. So you probably have to say for their season's worth of effort so far, they're rightfully in the top six.
I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, Austria and Klagenfurt have, since they've been promoted, that's 3 years in a row now where they've been in the top six. They're definitely one of the strongest teams in the league. They are the kind of team that can throw out an interesting result here and there. They can pick up a win against anyone. They can lose against anyone as well, but they're an interesting team to have, and Peter Packel is doing a wonderful job down there in Carinthia.
What a chance for them, and for Hartberg, you'd have to say, this year. I know Rapid and Lask are very much in the mix, very, very close on points with Hartberg and Klagenfurt as well, but you do assume that over the course of the 10 games, Rapid and Lask would be able to just move ahead and perhaps take those third and fourth place spots. It's not guaranteed, but you do assume that maybe that will be the way it is. But with Klagenfurt and Hartberg both in the top six, I think both of them will eye this up as maybe their best chance to break into that top five and find themselves at least in the European qualifiers come the end of the season, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would even suggest that for a top three finish. I mean, it's quite obvious that the Sturm Graz and Salzburg are far away ahead of the rest. I think that there's an 8-point gap. I might be wrong about that. There's an 8-point gap between Sturm Graz and third. But yeah, the rest of the teams, there's only 1 point separating them. So any of those teams could theoretically finish in third. And who says it can't be Klagenfurt or Hartberg? Sorry, it's a 6-point gap. Just checking now. It's a 6-point gap between Sturm Graz and Lask, but you know, that is quite sizable with only 10 games to go.
It certainly is. Yeah, you're right. I like your ambition there for Hartberg and Klagenfurt. Top three is definitely not beyond them, with Lask, 10th in the form table at the moment and sinking like a stone. Rapid, who've looked pretty shaky in across the whole season, really. And in a way, that makes me feel a little bit for Austria Vienna. They finished 7th. They were so, so close. Talk about the form table over the Rückrunde, you know, the last 11 games. So the second half of everybody playing each other once. Salzburg are leading that by a mile. In fact, they're 8 points ahead of Sturm Graz in the Rückrunde form table. But who was in there in second place behind Salzburg? It was Austria Vienna. They were second in the form table in the last 11 games. They've won 4 and lost 1 in 2024. That gives them the best record of anybody in 2024 in the Austrian Bundesliga. Guess which one they lost? It was the derby.
Yeah, I mean, that was the crucial game. That capitulation at the Allianz Stadion really changed the season. But of course, it can't be just down to that one game recently. It's the beginning of the season where they were truly terrible. I think they only got 5 points in the first few games of the season. So they can look back and, you know, think about the game against Rapid Vienna. But frankly, it was the many, many games before that where they should have easily have been in the top six. But, you know, their first 11 games were terrible. Their second 11 games were fantastic. However, overall, they came just short.
They really did. Yeah, it's annoying. Looking back at some of the players who were available, it was like people like Früchtl in goal. He came back. A lot of these players, Handel as well, the defender, really good performers for a lot of the time this season. And then they were available, missing for the Rapid game that they lost, available again, and they've won more games again. Früchtl coming back, making a big penalty save in the first half after Gavau was penalised for a handball. Little bit of a controversial call. VSG missing the penalty. Austria Vienna wanted one of their own, but Früchtl's penalty save stopped them from going 1-0 down, kept them in the hunt. They went on to win the game. We did say that they'd get 6 points, didn't we? After the derby, we had that sneaky feeling that Austria Vienna, you know, we had the suspicion that they were going to get the 6 points and put the pressure right on those in the top six, the Hartbergs, the Klagenfurts. and the Rapids, of course, as well. And they sure did put the pressure on. So close. More points than anybody in 2024, but ultimately they miss out. There was a bit of chat on Twitter about this. How harsh is this? Because I said, look, you can't really complain. The league table doesn't lie after 22 games. Everybody's played each other home and away. But by the same token, the response was this, and I agreed with it. If you give this like another week or maybe 2 weeks, Austria Vienna could be third easily, but they can't. Now they're locked in. I don't know how to feel about it. You know, it's pretty brutal, isn't it? But at the same time, yeah, as you say, the start of the season is what has cost them.
It is brutal, Tom, but it's the system that everyone in the league knows they're going to play this season. It's not been thrown on them last minute. You know, everyone knows that after 22 games, then there's the split. It's just unfortunate. Some teams catch form at the wrong times. Austria Vienna have done that. They've come so mightily close to getting into the top six. But, you know, at the end of the day, their form at the beginning of the season has cost them. And all they can do is blame themselves rather than the system.
Yeah. I do agree with that. It's the same for everyone. It really is. 22 games is as fair a point to cut off as any other. It hurts because they could be third next week. You know, they could have been third next week. Ultimately, they're in the bottom six, but they're in a bit of a league of their own with Wolfsberger AC. They've got a massive gap now over the bottom four, those two. And so I'm actually really looking forward to seeing that battle play out between Austria Vienna and VAC for the top spot in the bottom six. We have seen teams go up into Europe from there before. You do sometimes see teams putting a run together, like winning a lot of games, building confidence, getting the forwards scoring goals. I can definitely see that happening for VAC and or Austria Vienna in the closing 10 games.
Yeah, of course. Whenever the split happens, normally the same things always occur. Salzburg wins all 10 games, runs away with winning the league. And there's always a surprise team at the bottom of the table who, you know, We're going to come to Lustenau next. Maybe this could be Lustenau season where they do the same thing. But you tend to find in the qualifications group, / a relegation group, that there are always surprises and it's always tight and it's always random. So saying that Austria Vienna are in great form, the fact is the rest of the season that they're now going to play the five teams below them in the table. Who knows? Maybe Austria Vienna now might be in a situation where their form falls off a cliff. This is what happens in a relegation group sometimes. So it'd be interesting to see. Obviously, it's a shame that there's 15,000 fans at the Generali Arena, like great support for Austria Vienna. But, you know, they now have the opportunity to qualify for a European playoff spot. And if they were to qualify, then, you know, the chances of maybe winning the Conference League playoff are actually quite high.
Yeah, as you say, big support. A lot of sort of groundswell behind the team. Is that going to remain now they're in the bottom six and they've missed that big target and they've got these sort of smaller games to play, smaller opponents coming to their stadium? Is that going to remain? I have a feeling that it will this season. I think the fans are really behind Vimmer. I think the fans are really behind Austria Vienna. They're gutted that they missed out. But as we said, you know, the damage was done a long time ago. For VAC, they've also missed their ultimate target of the top six, but I think there's not so much pressure on them to finish in the top six. They're well above relegation. They've got 15 points to Lustenau's 5 after the split now. They've got a big gap to Altach behind. As I said earlier, I think VAC against Austria Vienna should be fun in this bottom six battle. The rest of the bottom six have really all compacted together, of course, thanks to the points being halved now, but also thanks to the form. I mean, we have to start with Lustenau, don't we? They came into the winter break having not won a game all season. They've now picked up 7 points from 5 games, which doesn't sound like that much, but their form is very much mid-table compared to the flatlining relegation form that they had before Andy Hiraf took over. They got beaten 7-0 2 weeks ago, and since then they've come back with a win and a draw. They are right back in this.
It is remarkable considering the fact that they had the worst season before Christmas in Bundesliga history. And now they're in a position where they actually have a chance. And this victory was great. It was their first home victory since June 2nd. Of course, they weren't playing in Lustenau. They're playing in Bregenz. Lustenau look all right. I mean, considering that we were saying that maybe they could be the worst Bundesliga team of all time only a couple months ago, now they have the opportunity. And it's closed up at the bottom very, very much. They're only 2 points behind VSG Tirol now, 4 points behind Blau-Weiss Linz and Altach. Yeah, I think we told our listeners that Lustenau were going to be relegated far before they had any right to be. So, you know, Luster now, fair play. It was an excellent win at the weekend against Blauweiss Linz. And now, yeah, they have a real chance.
They really, really do. As you said, just 2 points behind, suddenly they could be looking at being off the bottom in a week's time, which is unfeasible, unthinkable, but almost they might be slightly miffed that they've got 7 points in the last couple of games. And then those ones were halved. You know, if they got 7 points in their next couple of games, then they're going to be safe, aren't they? But look at the teams elsewhere who are just cracking at the moment. Altac, no wins in six, no wins in 2024. The last win that they had that wasn't against Lustenau was in September against Austria Vienna. They lost in the cup to Leoben as well. So Altac are really struggling. Blauweiss Linz, they've not won a game since they beat Lask in the Linz derby in November. They've got 3 points from their last eight, which are three draws. Funnily enough, two of which came against Sturm and Salzburg. Very, very strange. Three defeats on the bounce. This one, quite worryingly, to Lustenau, who they play next. They're playing Lustenau again. They just lost to Lustenau at the weekend. And now the fixture list has thrown up a game for them against Lustenau again on the first round of the next phase. They've got the worst record in 2024 with just 2 points, Blauweiss Linz. And then VSG Tirol as well lost every game in 2024 except one random win against Hartberg last weekend. That's actually the only team other than the bottom three that they've beaten this season. They've beaten Lustenau once, Blauweiss Linz once, and Altac once. So they've beaten their rivals once this season, which is quite important for them mentally. But other than that, one freak win against Hartberg, basically. And VSG are massively in danger. Thomas Silberberger, their coach, has pulled a bit of a Jürgen Klopp here and announced that he's going to leave at the end of the season, maybe with the hope of sort of galvanising the team across the final 10 games.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it's you know, he's the man that has overseen VSG's rise from the regional league to the Bundesliga. He's been in charge for like 11 years, I believe. And he's one of the longest serving managers in top flight football across all of Europe. So, yeah, a huge moment for VSG to roll. And yeah, if you're Thomas Silberberger, it'd be really, really a shame if VSG to roll were to get relegated in your final season in charge. But I wonder how that will affect the team going forward. Maybe it will have the effect like Jürgen Klopp, but like, you know, a very much smaller version of that.
Silberberger's Jürgen Klopp effect to push VSG to survival. But they are right in the mix. I have to say, honestly, after it being a one-horse race for relegation and then maybe a two-horse race, now it is a four-way battle and it's going to be really exciting. Altac, Blauweiss Linz, Lustenau and VSG literally all right in the mix now, and they've got all these games coming up against each other. It's going to be pandemonium down there in the bottom six for the rest of the season. But just going back to Silberberger leaving, did you see that Valerian Ismail was sacked from Watford this weekend in the Championship in England?
Tom, are you telling me that a manager was sacked from Watford? My goodness.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, somebody who's had success in the Austrian Bundesliga as well was sacked from Watford. But I think my favourite tweet of the week, did you see it? The one about, it was like Watford have had more managers in the last 5 years than there have been Dalai Lamas since 1579 or something.
Incredible.
It was incredible. Like, Thomas Silberberger reminds me of that because, what is it, 11 years? Like that's probably longer than, you know, that's longer than 99.9% of coaches in Europe, isn't it? Surely.
It's incredible. Yeah, he's in the top five for sure in terms of his length in charge. Really an incredible rise for VSG Tirol from regional league to Bundesliga. And then, of course, they got into the top six as well, unbelievably, that one season. Of course, that was the COVID season as well, wasn't it?
But yes, yeah.
Yeah, he's been an incredible manager. It's going to be weird to see VSG Tirol in the Bundesliga without him in charge.
It really will. I worry for them a bit. Well, I worry for them this season with him in charge, not because of him, but I worry about them this season and I worry about them for any season after this. I mean, it's different for Blauweiss Linz because they just got promoted, but I'd say any of the others there, Lustenau, Altac and VSG, if they go down, there is no guarantee that they're coming back up. There's no guarantee that they're going to be like top two, top three in Liga 2. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I can pretty safely say that.
I think it's the fact that the Liga 2 is definitely becoming a strong league. This year, obviously, we'll be with Graz AK, who's running away with the league, and they will be a wonderful addition to the Bundesliga. Will we get a Graz derby again in the Bundesliga? Of course, if they don't somehow blow it in the most ridiculous way possible, but they should be promoted. I think I get exactly what you mean there. before, Lustenau, obviously they're a team in transition. They're building a new stadium on the site of their old ground. So they're currently ground sharing. Maybe for them, it's, you know, it would not be great, but it's not a disaster. But I think for any team going down, it is pretty tough now. There are two or three teams in Liga Spar who will give them a ripe battle. I just wanted to say, Tom, like I'm looking at the table now. I'm very excited by the both the championship group and the qualifications group. And I think the league table is definitely split into four different league tables now. We have the title chase. We have the Europa League place. We have the Europa Conference League playoff place and the relegation place. So there's a 2-4-2-4, which is quite tidy and neat. But yeah, it's going to be exciting. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I see what you mean. That is nice and neat, isn't it? And I like that third is the sort of the top of its own mini league there, because third often ends up being the best, like one of the best positions to finish in. You know, obviously the third best position to finish in, you might think, but no, potentially even a little bit better than second, given that often you can get guaranteed group stage football if you finish third, but not so much if you finish second. So you know, obviously you don't want to prioritize finishing third over second, but still somebody's going to sort of win that battle. And third, for example, is much much better than fourth and fifth. So somebody's going to sort of win that battle and have it. Austria Vienna and VRT are going to fight this battle for maybe a European playoff spot as well, which keeps that really nice and interesting. I bemoaned the fact that with Austria Vienna just missing out, despite their great form, we're not going to see any derbies for the rest of the season. However, I was swiftly corrected, because of course we might well have a derby in the European domestic playoff, which that would be great, wouldn't it?
That would be great having a Vienna derby for the chance of playing European football. That would be quite fun.
I, for one, would love to see that. And who says it's not going to happen? Sy, you're right to mention Giacca, Graz AK, they are coming up, surely. We cursed them last season, by going all the way to their away game, the crowning glory of their season, away in Dornbirn, in which they then failed to get promoted, unfortunately for them. This time, I don't think even we could curse them. They're 11 points clear. They're just looking so imperious at the top of the second division. Surely it is the year, the completion of their long, long comeback from the 8th division to the Austrian Bundesliga. They are coming back. I'll say it now. That's not even a rash prediction. You know, they're so clear and they're on such good form. But before we wrap up for this pod, can you give us a Bundesliga-based prediction? Something maybe? Can you stick your neck on the line for the last 10 games?
Oh, I think the relegation spot will go down to the final day and there will be 3 teams involved.
Okay, I like that. I like that. I was going to say that I don't think Lustenau will go down, but given the form that they're on right now, that's not even sticking my neck on the line, is it really? that's just fair. I'll go for my one then and say, I think Austria Klagenfurt will finish third and qualify for Europe.
That's a good prediction. And let me say one more prediction.
Time will tell if it's good.
Well, one more prediction that it's more of a hope than anything. I hope that we have a title race that goes down to the final day. Please. This is what the people want to see. We want to have a proper title race. We don't want Salzburg to go 10 points clear. You know, we don't want Sturm Graz to drop points. We want a proper title race. We want it back and forth. We want the team in first to change multiple times. Please give us that and I will be happy.
Yeah, I've definitely got my fingers crossed for that. I do have a foreboding feeling that Gerhard Struber and Red Bull Salzburg are just kind of clicking together at the right time. I can definitely see them doing that thing where, yeah, they sort of win 9, draw 1 maybe of their 10 and go on and win the league at a canter. But we can hope. Just talking fixtures, obviously the fixture list has just been jumbled up and now we've got the last 10 games in the top and the bottom 6. They begin right away. So some teams have to like go to Altach. They have to go to Vorarlberg or whatever on like 4 days notice because it's only just been drawn. So it's pretty difficult. But one that annoyed me that I think was worth mentioning before we wrap up here is that Rapid now have a Friday night game and they've already sold more than 2,000 tickets for their women's team. The new women's team, the new Rapid women's team, obviously a brilliant development in Austrian football. They are, you know, just making their first steps right now. Every game is kind of historical. It's like the first time they've done this, the first time they've done that. Now it was going to be a big home game on Friday night at the Allianz Stadion for Rapid's women. And the fixture list has just suddenly thrown this one up straight away on the Friday. So they have to postpone it, which is, I don't know, it's a bit of a bummer when you've sold more than 2,000 tickets already, which in Austrian women's football terms is an insane number of tickets.
Yeah, it is a real shame. I saw that as well. And I mean, it's not the first time that, you know, that there's been a huge moment for women's football that's been like overshadowed. I remember when Austria played France at the Generali Arena, the 10,000 tickets sold on the same night the OFB put the Austria Salzburg, Red Bull Salzburg game. It's like, come on. You know, surely there's a way to plan this out in advance. Surely there's a way for both these to coexist. Like, you know, English football, you generally tend to find when, you know, it's international break in the men's game, then the women's team take over all the home grounds of the Premier League teams. And I mean, there must be a way for this, you know, because Austrian women's football is wonderful. We have a great team who compete at the highest levels. Of course, Euro semi-finalists in 2017 came so close to qualifying for the World Cup as well. I really think that this is something that needs to change in Austrian football.
Yeah. I do think other nations are sort of pushing on now a bit more of a pace than Austria are managing. As you say, they've got great players, great stars, great role models, great teams. And they just sort of, in Austria, they just sort of seem to be just sort of shaking their heads a bit and saying, well, what can we do with the Austrian Bundesliga? You know, it's really small. What can we do with the women's Bundesliga? Like nothing. We're helpless. There's nothing we can do. It's like, there are things you can do. There are things you can do. And I know Rapid are not even in the Bundesliga yet, but, you know, just a bit of communication sometimes you think wouldn't go amiss, would it, to sort these things out and just make things a bit easier in terms of the promotion of these games. Anyway, we're very much looking forward to the last 10 games of the Austrian Bundesliga. Sai, as you said, it's neatly broken into little battles, which I think are going to be really good to watch throughout the course of the rest of the season. We've made our predictions a little bit. We've vented our frustrations a little bit at the fixture list. It's a good time to wrap up the pod for today. But yeah, we're really looking forward to it getting underway. And we'll be back over the course of the season as it closes out. Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast.